Hey everybody, Kevin Grossman here, president of Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards. More exciting things coming from the Candies. Our 2021 Candy Benchmark Research is going to be available very soon. Candy Experience Day 2022 will happen January 26th, and more on that soon. And will also help us kick off the 2022 program year so you can start benchmarking your candidate experience again in the new year. To learn more, go to thetalentboard.org. Enjoy the podcast and happy holidays.
For instance, we'd build a rappelling experience to teach teams on the importance of taking the leap into the unknown when innovating in a brand new product and not being afraid to fall, trusting the support system that's holding you there when you're literally walking backwards off a cliff and trusting the support system of the rope as well as the support system of the people that are there that you work with cheering you on.
You're listening to the Candy Shop Talk podcast, brought to you by Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards Benchmark Research, and hosted by Kevin W. Grossman. Talent Board is the first nonprofit research organization focused on elevating and promoting a quality candidate experience. The Candy Shop Talk podcast welcomes Marshall Mosher, global adventurer, tech futurist, and founder and CEO of Bastigo, creator of shared virtual reality adventures designed to enable radical innovation and adaptability. Listen in on how improving candidate experience impacts recruiting and the business bottom line. Marshall, thank you so much for joining me on the Candy Shop Talk podcast. You are the co-founder and CEO of Bastigo, where you provide virtual reality training, leadership development, and team building. Now, before we dive into the rest of the show, why don't you expound on that a little bit and tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do today?
For sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here. So just like you said, that was a great description. We build virtual reality adventure experiences as an opportunity for teams to get outside of the safety and comfort of the office and practice building a mindset of courage, which psychologically is actually one of the most important factors for being able to navigate change and take advantage of, you know, scary new worlds that we constantly see changing on almost a yearly basis at this point, to be able to take advantage of opportunities for innovation and disruption. And I also do a lot of these same types of adventure sports in real life as well. It's one of my personal passions of, you know, getting outside and experiencing the world in different ways, whether it's, you know, a paraglider pilot or a mountain biker, kiteboarder, all kinds of different ways to experience the world around us.
That is excellent. And it's not like we haven't had enough change in the past 2 years, right?
The only certainty is a lot of uncertainty, as I like to say it.
Well, it's true. And we'll talk more about this, I'm sure, throughout the conversation. I mean, the past 2 years, and you know, from a lot of our audience perspective, which is focused on recruiting, hiring, retention, candidate experience, but there has been this kind of super accelerator of change that I think in the workplace, especially, that we've seen happening not just over the past few years, but especially this year and last year. Before we even go further there, let's jump back to you. And you went from, just as you mentioned, I mean, outdoor adventuring, which is great. And my wife and I love to get out and do a lot of that stuff too. Even though some of the things you do are above my pay grade, as I like to joke. So, but you went from outdoor adventuring to indoor adventuring, literally and figuratively. So again, talk a little bit more about that. And how is VR so important today and what you're doing?
Yeah. So like, as you mentioned, we started by creating real life outdoor adventure experiences that we would use for teams to have an opportunity to experientially teach a lot of important themes in leadership development. So like, I'm not talking about just a fun whitewater rafting trip with your team, but using an experience that would be similar to that specifically for learning particular themes in leadership development and L&D that are great analogies that these experiences create. So like, for instance, we'd build a rappelling experience to teach teams on the importance of taking the leap into the unknown when innovating in a brand new product and not being afraid to fall, trusting the support system that's holding you there when you're literally walking backwards off a cliff and trusting the support system of the rope as well as the support system of the people that are there that you work with cheering you on. So those experiences were incredibly impactful, but as time went on, we wanted to try and find a way to replicate the impact of these experiences in a way that was a little bit more accessible and scalable. And I've always been fascinated with technology and just what a future looks like that isn't quite here yet, but that's going to be created mostly by changes in technology. And I was really fascinated with virtual reality when I went through this program called Singularity University in 2015, which is a startup accelerator out in Silicon Valley. I was introduced to VR for the first time and was really fascinated because now for the first time in human history, we have a technology that can not just replicate, you know, our ability to talk face to face on a computer like Zoom, but our ability to actually go through shared experiences that have real impact because they have a real actual fear response. Your brain thinks it's real, so it creates a experiential memory that's difficult and challenging instead of just connecting on a phone call or a Zoom call. So even though these experiences are, you know, in an office, or a lot of what we do actually, the people are physically in their house working remotely, throwing on a VR headset and being teleported into the same virtual experience. Like one that we just created that's been really popular is this Everest crevasse crossing experience. So what we do is everyone has their own VR headset, whether it's a company that's already bought VR for their employees or a company that hasn't and will send the headsets to the individual employees. Either way, everyone has their own headset. They put on that headset and they're teleported into Everest Base Camp, which is actually a 3D recreation of Everest. So it's not just a 360 video for anyone who's tried some of the older VR headsets. You don't just look around and be amazed. You can actually walk around, pick up virtual snowballs and throw it at a, you know, employee, which is a recreation of their virtual selves as an avatar in VR. And then we can hear a inspirational kind of kickoff keynote from a famous Everest mountaineer who's also a virtual avatar recreation of themselves, giving their presentation on the time that they climbed Mount Everest, just like you would hear in a conference maybe, and then inspiring everyone to have the mindset that they need to then go do that thing in real life, sort of in real life, in virtual life. And then after the keynote, we all go do the first step in climbing Everest, which is crossing this giant glacier called the Khumbu Icefall, which has all these big cracks in the ice that you have to cross with this virtual ladder. And when you're walking across this virtual ladder, you're just walking in a straight line on your, you know, kitchen or living room floor. But it feels like you are on this ladder a couple hundred feet above the bottom of this icy, dark pit of death that if you fell into, you feel like you would actually fall, even though it's completely safe and not real because you're in your office or kitchen or living room. So the ability to feel like you're in this really high impact experience, but also in a way that is very highly accessible, because I don't know too many teams that go on a company climbing trip up Mount Everest in real life.
And I'm sure that those waivers look a lot differently if I'm...
The lawyers like VR way better.
Look a lot differently than that. Oh, I'm sure. And that's fascinating. The experiences that I've had, not walking across ice in Mount Everest, but the VR experience I've had are... They can also be quite disorienting, but they're pretty fascinating though, and how much better that the technology has gotten. I mean, I fought Darth Vader, for goodness sake, in virtual reality. So let's talk a little bit more about, you mentioned something at the beginning, which I liked a lot, is helping to instill and empower courage with leaders as well as, you know, frontline employees. Everybody has their own ownership and should have their own ownership of personal leadership as well. So in team building today, I mean, the team building is a long time industry, right? And leadership development has been here for decades. What's missing though in team building today, whether that's in person or today, we also have a lot more teams that are remotely dispersed and will continue to be so in the years to come. So what's missing from your perspective?
Yeah, well, there's kind of two steps to that question in my mind. The first step is addressing what team building is, because unfortunately, you know, some teams think it's a company happy hour where we all just get drunk together, and other teams think it's a really impactful leadership development session where we have particular goals and outcomes we want to achieve. And those are completely separate, different types of things. So I think addressing what actual team building is, which in my mind is very much leadership development focus, is actually building a team that's going to be stronger on the other side of some type of shared experience and activity that creates that end result you want, not just an opportunity for us to hang out and go watch a baseball game. So that's kind of the first differentiator in my mind of like what this is. The second thing that I think, you know, real team building of actual leadership development is missing is the chance to actually get outside of our comfort zone and challenge our limits in some way that gives us an opportunity to both be vulnerable and overcome some type of shared challenge. So if you look at Brené Brown's work on vulnerability and what builds really important, powerful human connection, it's the opportunity to get outside of our comfort zone and have that shared opportunity for vulnerability together as a team. And one of the most effective ways to do that is for everyone to get outside of their comfort zone together and overcome some type of challenge with the mindset that it is hard and it is challenging, and the vulnerability that comes along with that and sharing that with the people that you're going through the challenge with. So I'm a little biased, but I think adventure experiences are one of the most powerful catalysts for creating that type of environment that has ever existed in the history of humanity. And I say that because as humanity, as a species, as a whole unit was evolving throughout the course of thousands of years, it was shared experiences, overcoming shared challenges that brought us closer together as a tribe. And these experiences, you know, throughout history were kinds of crazy, hard, traumatic things. We have war and finding food and hunting, you know, tigers and lions and animals. But now adventure sports are a really relatively safe and easy way to replicate those same emotions that we've always felt, but now are quite different in modern society.
But although, Marshall, no, and I totally agree with you, but obviously there's different kinds of modern day trauma too. And living through the pandemic has definitely been one, especially with the fact that, you know, again, going back to leadership development and team building, a lot of that is we've all been living virtual for the past year and a half to almost 2 years now on some levels. I mean, I know that's changing now, thank goodness, for getting back to some in-person. But I do think that there's definitely just the mental health awareness that has been super important in what we've all been being isolated. And so I think definitely there's modern day trauma that I think what you're talking about, we can definitely overcome. And I love your reference of Brené Brown, because my wife and I are big fans, and it's, you know, the default is armoring up otherwise, right? And when being vulnerable is, I think, one, finally, there's getting more light shed on it, that it is one of, I would argue, one of the most valuable things to work on as an individual and as a leader, is to allow yourself to be vulnerable.
Totally. 100% agree.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the times that I mentioned earlier that I've experienced virtual reality, and I already referenced this, but it's, you know, it can be disorienting when you, after you take the goggles off and you're like, whoa, now I got to like reset into the real world. I think that's a logistic reality, right? Of a lot of the training that you're doing now. How do you prep your participants for going in and out? How long do these sessions last, and what's that entail?
Yeah. So as all forms of technology experience this, you know, they get much better with time, and they start in a place that's not great, but it kind of kicks off that technology works, but has much room for improvement. VR is in that space, but it's actually come a lot further than most people realize, because the past 2 years have made massive leaps in the tech, and a lot of people have tried it when it first came out 2 or 3 years ago. And I say first came out, it's been around, you know, since the 80s, but that was when it really first became more accessible. But it's gotten so much better since then. So if someone has tried a headset 2+ years ago, completely forget what you think virtual reality is and try it again. It's really come that far. With the exception of, like, if you tried a headset that was connected to a computer, then your perspective on VR is probably still pretty accurate. But if you tried one of those remote headsets where you like put your phone in some type of cartridge that you put on your face, that's completely different in terms of what that type of virtual reality is and what the new virtual reality is. So if you've ever had some kind of motion sickness from those headsets, it's almost like comparing a home phone and a cell phone. They're like, you could talk on both of them, but completely different devices.
Sure, that's true. Because you said it goes back to the 80s, and remember how big cell phones were in the 80s. So,
oh, yeah.
How big and bulky. Yeah, it's like a big Brave Laser you put to your ear. So, I'm sure, I know that's the case, and that it has come definitely a long way. Now, you've already talked about one example of different virtual reality leadership team building scenarios that you take teams through. By the way, with the holidays coming up, I really want you to release one, like a diehard Nakatomi Plaza, Bruce Willis scenario adventure. Do you know what I'm talking about?
What movie is that?
Remember the movie Die Hard?
It's been a long time since I've seen it, but yeah.
Anyway, it was a joke that fell flat, Marshall. So don't worry about it. But speaking of all the other the scenarios that you do focus on, give us some other examples, and what are some of the most extreme ones that you go on? I mean, obviously the Everest one sounds pretty extreme to me, but what else, what kind of adventures should we expect to go on?
Yeah, so there's different types of experiences that we like to choose based on what the goals of the company are. The Everest crevasse crossing one, it definitely feels extreme because that fear of heights is very common, and you can replicate that in a way that feels very real in virtual reality. Emotionally, mentally, it feels very real, and physically it's very very accessible because you're just walking in a straight line on your floor, and anyone can do that. But emotionally, mentally, when you're in VR, it feels like you're on this ladder that creates that same emotional reaction to if you were actually walking across a ladder high up in the air. So those types of experiences are both impactful and accessible. But there's other types of experiences that teach other themes in other ways that still creates a high stakes, like real life stressful environment, but slightly differently. For example, there's this bomb diffusion game that we can use to teach communication under pressure, where you work together as a team to defuse this time bomb, this suitcase style looking thing with buttons and wires that's sitting on this table in front of you. And you work together with one or three, up to three other people to figure out how to defuse this thing. And some of the team has the instruction manuals, and one person on the team is the diffuser, the person who can see the bomb, but neither party can see both sides of the picture, both the instructions and the bomb at the same time. So you have to communicate what you're seeing to the people with the instructions. You have to communicate how to decode those, visual images into accurate instructions for the person who can see it. So, and of course, it has a 5-minute timer, and it feels like if you don't diffuse that in 5 minutes, that your reality, virtual reality, is going to explode. So it's a really, really great way for teaching particular communication styles.
Does it explode?
Oh yeah, it explodes.
Oh, it does. So you, okay, got it. So you, there is definitely a reality, virtual reality check of doing that exercise that it actually will virtually explode then.
For sure. It's not quite as scary as the heights-based experiences, but definitely like people's communication style drastically changes in the last 30 seconds. So it feels real for sure. So all kinds of different ways.
No, that's fascinating. And so there are, depending again on what it is that you're, different aspects of team building, there's going to be different scenarios then that you can take.
Exactly. Yeah. We're always focused on kind of that particular goal or outcome that the company that we're working with wants to instill in their team and focus on. So it just depends on what that is. And that kind of dictates what we can do.
So, and then if we don't have our own VR goggles, how does that work? Do we rent them? Do we have to just outright buy them? How does that work otherwise?
Yeah. So we have a inventory of about like 40 to 50 headsets that we can send out. And what we do is we have a branded box with a QR code and a return label. So you just scan the QR code when you get it. That gives you instructions on how to use it if you've never used it before. And then the return label is there for you to just slap back on the box afterwards. You can just put it in any FedEx drop box that's close by. So really easy to just use it for the experience. We definitely believe in a world where if you're working remotely, you will have a VR headset. And that probably isn't too far away. It's just too cheap and too powerful for any company to not use it that wants to, get the most efficiency and productivity out of their team. It's like, joining a remote tech company and not having a computer. It's just like right now that sounds absolutely ridiculous. Like, what are you going to do? Write letters to your team? Of course not. And as ridiculous as that sounds, that I 100% believe that will be the case in virtual reality in the next 5 years. So we're definitely building this for a future that doesn't quite exist yet, but is coming really soon. But of course, a lot of companies are interested in VR, but have not made the leap quite yet. So we want to help both introduce them to virtual reality and deliver a fun experience and an impactful experience all at the same time. So for companies that don't have headsets, we can send them out.
Fascinating. That's fantastic. In our world, in recruiting, hiring, retention, all those things and candidate experience. I mean, it's been a very bizarre 2 years. Last year when the pandemic hit, recruiting took a big hit and a lot of companies scaled down. They weren't hiring as much. And now we're going the opposite direction, which is a good thing to see economy picking up and job growth. And there is a lot of frenetic, hiring going on right now, but employees are quitting in record numbers. Candidates are ghosting employers. I mean, the list goes on. Do you have any examples of how you would recommend team building exercises or leadership development exercises for HR and recruiting leaders that could impact the work that they do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. So you mean like as part of the recruiting process?
Yeah. As part of the recruiting process, how would some of these exercises, and it could be simply some of the examples that you've shared around, team building, working better as a team, but what other examples could you share?
Yeah, for sure. Well, all of these experiences can work for people who aren't on a team and you want to see how they work together on a team in addition to people who are already on the team together.
Sure. Oh yeah. It could be a screening tool too, right?
You could definitely use it as a screening tool to give people, a real life challenge and see how they react to that, how they overcome that. And you could put them on the crevasse of the base of Mount Everest and see how, and then, have a person on the inside side that they think is another candidate who is absolutely freaking out and terrified, and see whether the person just crosses it themselves and doesn't care about the other person, or whether they actually, you know, stop and help the other candidate and give them kind of that courage and confidence for the other person instead of just focusing on themselves. So there's all kinds of ways that you can use it as an experiential test to see what they do. But unfortunately for candidates, it would be a little bit hard now versus in the future, because most people don't have a VR headset themselves, and you wouldn't want to.
That may change, because right now there are assessments that are job simulation assessments that a lot of companies use that are done online. They aren't VR driven, but I think that there's definitely a dot to connect there, that in the maybe even the near future, as you said, it will be much more prevalent in the world of work and hiring and recruiting and retention. And we may definitely see a lot more growth in that regard.
I think we will, for sure. And I know that, you know, some companies that we work with actually used VR as an onboarding tool as well. So they would create a virtual version of their campus and give new employees the tour of, you know, of the campus in VR, even if they were remote employees, so like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've heard that occurring already as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next 5+ years as it relates to virtual reality. So Marshall, the one of the last questions I always like to ask my guests is that we're always working all the time. Work. Always work. Besides work, and besides outdoor adventuring, because we've already established that is definitely a love of yours too, what else does Marshall like to do?
Yeah. If you took adventure out of the category, I don't know.
And that's fine. What is your favorite extreme? Do you have an extreme sport that you participate in? I mean, you mentioned that you snowboard and ski before the podcast, and that's great. What else do you like to do then?
Yeah, I've been really liking kiteboarding and paragliding over the past couple of years. Those are two more recent ones that I got into about 3 years ago. And they're both a really cool way to, you know, use the power of the wind to explore the world. Paragliding, we can fly in anything up to 15 miles an hour, so 0 to 15, and then kiteboarding starts around 15, so 15 to, like, you know, 35-40. So regardless of the wind, there's, you know, a different tool with between both of those to be able to just explore. The really cool thing with paragliding is that, and just to explain what paragliding is, it's not parasailing, which I think a lot of people have heard of and done, where you're, you know, behind a boat that's pulling you up in the air and you have a parachute. It is a very long elliptical shaped parachute that you can use to not just go down and slow your descent, but actually go up even without a motor. So you have to hike up a mountain, and then you start with your wing on the ground, you pull it up in the air, you run off the mountain. There's no falling involved. You just kind of glide right off the mountain. And then you can use the rising air currents called thermals out in the air that are created by the sun to actually ride that rising air all the way up to the base of the clouds. And you can fly for hundreds of miles if you're really good with absolutely no motor. So it's a really cool combination of hiking up a mountain and then being able to see how far you can fly, which kind of uses both your knowledge of weather and the terrain, as well as, you know, knowledge of actually maneuvering the wing and flying itself. So it's got a lot of factors to it, but really, really cool sport.
How far have you gone?
My record, I think, is like 62, 63 kilometers, which is about, you know, 40-ish miles. Not super far. I mean, the state records are 100 plus kilometers, sometimes 100 plus miles.
That's still quite a trek. That's about how many miles total again? As you said, 60?
It's about 40 miles, you know, like 64 kilometers.
Yeah, that's like 39 miles longer than I probably would be be going. But I think it's fascinating. And I'm assuming then it's not quite the same as hang gliding, but there's a similar dynamics at play, right?
Very similar. So the analogy I like to make it between hang gliding and paragliding is like skiing and snowboarding. You're doing something very similar in a very similar environment, but your way of getting down the mountain is slightly different. Hang gliding and paragliding are both what's considered free flight, which means you're flying without a motor and still able to stay in the sky based on the conditions of what's going on in the air, but they're just different aircraft. So hang gliding started first, kind of like skiing started first, and then paragliding came along later and is much more accessible because it fits in a backpack. You can throw it in the trunk of a car when you land versus a hang glider, which even after packed up is this like 10 foot long bag of poles that you need a roof rack for. So it's a bit harder.
I see that happening a lot, like along the California coast north of us. I live in Santa Cruz. So
there's great paragliding there.
Paragliding all the time, like north of us towards Half Moon Bay. Definitely see them off the coast there, because we get a lot of wind right off that part of the coast. And it's fascinating to watch. Yeah.
You think you'll give it a shot one day?
I don't know. I don't know if my wife will let me, but we'll see. Maybe virtually. I'll do it virtually.
I'll let you know when we finish our paragliding experience.
Let me know and I'll be happy to do it. That's for sure. Marshall, thanks so much for being on the Candy Shop Talk podcast. Totally appreciate it. I really enjoyed talking with you about the exciting things that you're doing in virtual reality as it relates to team building and leadership development. And maybe hopefully someday we can meet in person.
Absolutely. I'll let you know when I'm out in that part of California and I'll take you for a tandem paragliding flight.
I would love to be in. I'd be in for that. So thanks again, Marshall.
Thanks, Kevin. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Candy Shop Talk podcast. For more information about Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards and benchmark research, visit www.thetalentboard.org.